Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hello, lady listeners.
Hey.
Welcome to your lady DJs. We're all up in this today.
Nobody looks hungover from 4th of July.
Did you drink? Did you, Tessa? Did you drink?
No. No, I didn't. No, I was the sole child care provider.
Oh, shit. That's right. Okay. Tell us about the water balloons. I want to hear about this.
Okay. So every year, so yesterday was the 4th of July in real
time. And also, I'm upset that you've never invited me.
I just was scrolling on Facebook. I was like, what's she throwing? Water balloons and firemen.
Oh my God.
I got so pissed.
So there's a tradition in my town in Long Island where like on the 4th of July, every 4th of July, all the local firemen like parade down this main street in our town in their fire trucks, and they like stand on top and like hurl water balloons at the crowd and spray fire hoses at the crowd, and everybody throws water balloons back at the firemen. And it's very obvious that it's like the probies and the rookies, because they all look so young. Like, oh my God. As I'm trying to find a picture, like to take
turn
one of
all
them.
Those fantasies.
Yeah.
Like so many book plots just hopped out of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're just shirtless, just wet.
Oh, they're shirtless.
Did you not see the picture I sent?
Did you wear a white t-shirt?
Oh my gosh.
Did you wear a white t-shirt up there? I just want to know.
No, I was like,
opportunity missed.
Momming it. I was totally momming
it. Well, I guess if you had your kids, yeah.
Can you? I don't know if you can see this fireman.
Shut up! That's not real!
He's like 18.
That's not real, Tessa.
It is real. So it's like 15 different fire companies, and they all parade down like all the neighboring towns. And
oh my God.
And everybody, it's just like a massive water fight that goes on for half an hour.
Do you actually go to this, or is it just women and kids?
No, it's mostly just kids. Like, people come with like four coolers full of water balloons. Like, it is, they take it really seriously.
That's cute.
It's really cute. Yeah. The first year we went, we thought it was just a parade. Like, we were like, oh, it's going to be like a marching band and some bikers and whatever.
Yeah.
And the mayor, nope. And then this giant water fight breaks out. And we were like, oh my God. And then so we're like, next year we're coming prepared. So we've been doing it for like 4 years. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. That's adorable. And also really hot. Did you take some video? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
Next year, just invite me. Okay. Next year. Yeah, and that's what I was saying too about 4th of July. It was on a Thursday this year, so you can't really get turned up on a Thursday. I feel like
you can't, but my neighbors do for sure. I like cannot get on board with fireworks. I don't know if I'm old or what, but like the people setting off fireworks till midnight, I'm like, I would like to kill you.
Fireworks, you're lucky. We get freaking dynamite.
I know.
That's what it sounds like. Okay, sounds like pipe bombs going off outside my house.
I remember the first time I ever said it to Leah or something. I was like, oh my God, somebody's setting off dynamite. She's like, somebody's setting off dynamite. I was like, yes. It's some of the high school kids. They get all the dynamite and they set it off around here. She's like, that's normal. I'm like, yeah, it's normal.
Because we have like mortars and stuff that we set off for 4th of July in South Carolina. You can have those, but this is like legit.
No, it's not legal. It's not legal. The whole ground and house shakes for miles.
Jesus.
And then the cops will come up and they'll be like, do you know where the, did it come from this way? I'm like, I don't know where the stupid kids are. It's farm everywhere. Good luck.
It's not allowed. Like, fireworks are not allowed in my town of where I live, but then like New York City, the line, what is that called?
Like the border.
The border.
Yeah.
The line.
Yeah.
The border of New York City and Long Island is actually at the end of my street. So Queens is actually the next block over. It's Queens. Yeah. So they can set off whatever the fuck they want. Or if they can't, the cops are way too busy. NYPD is way too busy dealing with real stuff to like worry about kids.
That's us too.
Yeah.
It's not allowed in Kansas City. So everybody has to come to my town. We're the next town. Kearney is the first town towards the big city where you can buy fireworks. So our town gets like congested of people coming here to buy them.
Yeah. Wait. It's kind of the same thing as South Carolina and the border. You can buy, like, the big ones there. But here you can buy, like, the little short ones, like the little ones that just kind of sparkle and stuff. Like, you know, the little blocks you can
yeah.
Or you can do those here. Not, like, the ones that go up in the air.
We took, like, a road trip down to – remember when we did that signing in North Carolina? You guys were
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
So my family and I, we took a road trip down to North Carolina, and then we went to South Carolina. And it was just, like, Baptist church, fireworks stand, sweet tea. Baptist
yep,
church, fireworks stand, sweet tea.
Yes,
like,
ma'am.
Throughout the whole state.
Throw some Waffle House in there. Yep. You're good to go.
But it was like the specials boards outside all the restaurants were like free sweet tea with your purchase of the barbecue thing. And I was
yep.
everywhere.
Shut the fuck up, Tessa. This is wonderful.
No, it is. But it's like, it's kind of nice to just like that comfort food is so visible. Yeah. It's like,
so
come on in here and get
available.
Some good stuff, guys.
Yeah. Like, it's right there for you. Just like diabetes right there when you cross the border. Come get
no diabetes jokes on this podcast.
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah. Sorry,
it's okay. Nice. No, Mel. But yeah. Mel's sensitive too.
I was going to say, we did set off fireworks though last night, but we set them off at like 8:30, and it was just like the little ones, enough for the kids to see them. And then we came back in and we watched Harry Potter and went to bed at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that was our amazing 4th of July night.
I don't know what happened at mine. I went to bed at like 11. I woke up and there was a grown man on my couch sleeping with like kids all in the house. I left my house and went over to my parents' house. I was like, my house is a mess and I have to go to work. My dad's like, it'll be spotless before you get back. I was like, it better be.
Oh my God. I need someone in my life to say that to me.
Oh my God.
He's like, these kids are all going to get up in a minute. They'll be over there.
Oh my. I hope so.
My house is a wreck right now. Just for my daughter being out of school, like there really is no chance to clean when your kid mm-hmm. is constantly making it messy again, you know?
Yep. Yep.
It's like pointless. It's like, you know how people like they start painting the Golden Gate Bridge and then by the time they get to the end, they have to start from the beginning again.
Yes.
That's like
it
cleaning
takes
my
so
house.
Long.
It's like by the time I clean
that's
it
a great analogy,
and finish,
actually.
I got to start over. And also, that's also like shaving for me.
Do you know something that changed my life was this past Christmas, my husband got me a Roomba. I don't know if we've talked about this before, like one of those little robot vacuums.
No, we haven't.
Holy fuck. It's the I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this or I'm going to use it. And it's just, but you know, and it was a lot of money. It was like, he got me like the cheap one. It was like $250. And so he was like, but I always wanted to try one. And so we were getting a dog and I was like, I just don't have the extra time to clean up after something else. And he's like, he got it for me. It was Christmas or whatever. I was like, all right, let's try this fucker out. I swear to God, I run that thing 2 or 3 times a day and I love it. It's the greatest invention ever.
And my brain can't process how it works. Like, it
me
just
neither.
Goes over carpet and wood and everything,
yep.
and it just doesn't
it goes,
get stuck.
It's a little robot. It just goes over everything. Now, if you have, like, cords and stuff out, that'll get sucked up in there. But that happened to me before. I just pulled it out. But, like, it's just a little robot, and it has sensors on the front. It's like a little bumper car where it has these little bumpers on the front, and when it bumps it, it turns. So, like, if it hits a wall, it just turns and goes the other way. Or if it hits, like, a shoe, it'll turn and go the other way. But I usually pick up everything off the floor, like all the crap or toys or whatever. And then I just, as soon as I leave the house, if I'm going to the grocery store, run that fucker while I'm not there. I'll run it when I'm there too, but I usually try to do it when I'm doing errands because it'll run for almost 2 hours. That thing will just vacuum, vacuum, vacuum. When I get home, I just empty out the dustpan and there's like a little like tray. You pull it out, empty it out, boom, that's it. And it charges itself. We called it Mr. Belvedere. And he just puts it around the house. And then once he gets done, he goes back to his charger. And, like, if you get the advanced model, there's one that, like, I think it's made from Apple or something like that. I forget. It starts with an X. It's got a weird name. But that one's, like, $450. And that one, you can actually, it has an app on your phone that you can target an area and say, go clean the living room. It does, like, it runs one time. It'll run and it maps your house when it runs the whole thing. And that way, the next time you run it, it remembers. And you can tell it to go clean your bedroom or whatever to do like a certain room in the house. And then it sends you a report and tells you if it missed anything. Like you can see the pattern it went on the room, like zip, 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 zip around it. I know this sounds crazy. It is the best money we've ever spent on a cleaning product.
The robots are going to rise up and take over.
I hope so. so. If this is what they do, if they rise up and clean my goddamn house, like, why are we not funding this?
Oh my God, you know, seriously.
Let's put more money into this. So I'm just saying, as somebody who has never believed in a robot vacuum, who I like a clean floor. That's my biggest pet peeve is having a clean floor, because I like to walk barefoot. So I don't want any shit on the house, like around me. It is absolutely worth every penny you spend on it. I love it.
All right. So hashtag not an ad.
Not an ad. I swear to God, but I've really loved
but
it.
But Roomba, so call us.
Roomba, yes, absolutely. Call us. I'll promote it again. But if you have one in headquarters and you're not happy with it, tell me why. if you like it, tell me your brand and put it in there. Because I'd love, like, I seriously want to get a second one for upstairs. We have it just for downstairs right now, and I want to get one for upstairs. So if you've got a good brand that's not $450, let me know. But I mean, they're so awesome. I would totally get
okay. One. All right. Yep. This mm-hmm. Add that to my wish list.
Yep. There you go.
So I went to a bachelorette party over the weekend.
Oh God, that picture you posted was amazing. So explain what that was.
I missed that one.
Yes, it's the one where she's like, it's a picture of two people and they're completely blurry. And she said, the person, I don't know who posted it, your friend posted it? Was that who?
Oh, my friend Maggie posted it in headquarters.
I see that blurry picture.
And I'm yeah, like, it's a blurry picture. And Maggie said, Tessa looks at it and goes, yeah, that's great. it's just a blurry picture.
I was like, I got it. Like, I got the shot.
I got
you're
it.
Good.
I got it. It's like, you can't even tell what the fuck it is.
Okay, so my friend Maggie, we used to work together at a management company in Brooklyn, and I've known her a really long time. She's getting married. She's wonderful. She's one of my dearest friends.
Aww.
Yeah, she's a listener too, so I'm totally kissing up. But she had a bachelorette party in the meatpacking district at STK, which is like a rooftop restaurant in like lower Manhattan. It's gorgeous. So dinner was at 8:30, but I got there at 8 because of the way the trains run from Long Island. So I'm like, all right, I'll go just have a drink, you know? So it's like Pride Week in the West Village.
Oh,
so
that's right.
It was just like a massive party, and there's just rainbow flags and people being happy everywhere.
I do love this Pride Month.
It was so happy.
It's been really great.
Everybody is so sweet and so happy. I'm like, I wish all the months were like this.
I know.
Right. So it was like the epicenter of this where I was. It was just like every bar had like, you know, flags out. And so anyway, I went into one and had two drinks. And then I'm like, okay, I guess I'll walk over to the restaurant now. And then I looked down at my phone. Dinner's at 9:30, not 8:30.
Oh, shit.
So what am I going to do? Like, besides keep drinking. Yeah.
Yep. There's no Targets around?
No. No Targets. No, not in Manhattan.
That's a fucking low blow.
There actually is one. So I get the joke now. I just got it. Ouch. So I had too many drinks, and then I get to dinner and I'm just like, I'm slurring my words as I'm too old, you know, like once upon a time I could have had 4 or 5 drinks and gone and been completely stone cold sober still. And now I showed up and I was just like, yeah, I was like, you guys watching Chernobyl on HBO?
You did not try to Chernobyl.
I talked
bit
for.
Again.
I think all I remember about the end, like towards the end, was just talking about, like, telling, recapping entire episodes of Chernobyl. I was just like, "Do you guys understand, like, what graphite can do if it's like got radiation?
Like, our imminent death is so close.
We are one human error away from complete destruction."
And Mel and I weren't there to keep you back on the rails. You had just gone completely off. You were in the ditch screaming that we're all going to die.
But this food was so good. Like, we had sliders, like these like really beautiful slider appetizers. Then we had, I had sea bass, and there was donuts and like chocolate cake with cotton candy on top.
What?
Oh my God. I remember the food for sure. Like, I remember the
food.
You
didn't take pictures of that, huh?
No.
You just got blurry shit pictures of your friends.
Blurry pictures. And the people next door to us. There was a group of girls next to us. And I was like, you guys want me to take a picture of you?
They were like, don't do it. Don't do it.
and I did. I can't even. And they were like, it's fine. It's fine. But I'm sure it turned out like shit. So.
Oh, my God. I love you so much.
It was really fun, though. And yeah, so it was a good time.
Well, I had a party on the 4th of July, and I pulled a Melissa, and I ordered Chick-fil-A trays.
Nice.
I did make sides to go with it, though. I made, like, deviled eggs, and I thought about Melissa because I was like, oh, I'm making doubled eggs instead of deviled eggs. Doubled. But so I made, like, deviled eggs, and I made a bunch of dips and stuff. Like, I had a pimento cheese dip and a BLT dip and all this other stuff. Like, I made a bunch of stuff to go with it. So I didn't feel completely terrible, but I did go pick up that tray of chicken. Like, fuck yeah, this was genius. Mel was right. Like, I should have been doing this all along.
It's easy. This year I didn't pick up anything, actually. Well, my husband told me, I guess I just forgot. I don't know. He said that he told me, like, 2 months ago, he was buying a smoker trailer thing. Whatever. Okay, I'm buying a grill thingy. Okay. And then all of a sudden he's like pulling this thing out from the bar, and I'm like, what is that? It's like this giant.
It's massive.
He pulls it behind. I'm like, what is this thing? He's like, I told you I bought it like 2 months ago. I'm like, that's been here for 2 months.
It's big. And I actually didn't even know what it was until you just said smoker trailer. I was like, what? Is that a go-kart?
And I'm just like, they just pull it out. I'm like, what the hell is that thing? Where'd you get it? Yeah,
I bet you the food's amazing.
And he had to start at like 7 in the morning. So, and it had like multiple things.
You just set one of those things up and start grilling. I bet people just show up, right? People you don't even know.
It's terrible. Don't do it. Show up.
Wait, Mel, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was you had mentioned you posted in our private group about your library, your local library found out that you live locally. And so they asked, and they have like a lot of people that are interested in romance and stuff. So what did they say?
They were just excited. They asked if I wanted to come down, which I was like, I don't know if I'll do that because I don't have Leah. I'm an introvert. I'm like, I can't come down there.
Give me by myself.
Leah can come down there, but she doesn't live here. It's me. Sorry, you got the introvert in your town.
Charlotte's like, can you make this bitch shut up?
No, I'm just getting a bunch of stuff together. And once a bunch of authors are mailing me stuff, and I've been slowly getting stuff, and once I get it all together, I'm going to go down there probably the end of next week and take it off.
Yeah, it's still a couple.
I just sent you mine the other day.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of boxes. I'm super excited about all the people that have donated, the authors. I don't know what they're going to do with them. If they're going to put them on the shelves, or they're going to put them in giveaways.
So if you're near this library, what's the name of the library?
I'll have to look it up again. It's in Liberty. It is huge. It's off of they took a historical house and built the library off the historical house.
Oh, wow.
It's got two Pokestops.
Ooh, shut up. Ooh, that is
double Pokestops.
And it's got a drive-thru.
Oh, shit. That's nice.
So I'll link it up.
A library has a drive-thru?
Uh-huh. It has a drive-thru.
So
window.
You can drop your books off? Like, if they're... Uh-huh. Wow.
I like
and, like,
that.
It opens. Somebody's there.
Yeah.
And
you're like, hey, can I get a number 4, which is just a stack of romances. Oh,
so I think I'm going to go down when I get all the books from everybody, and then I'll feel it out. And maybe if I feel a little bit more comfortable,
you'll stay.
Maybe I'll want to hang out a little more.
I'm going to secretly
introvert back home.
I'm going to secretly fly to your house and not tell you. And I'm just going to sit outside the library and watch what you do. Like, you know, that's Alexa Riley. I'm going to tell people that go in like Alexa Riley.
Oh, God.
So, welcome to the Read Me Romance podcast.
Oh, 20 minutes in, huh? That's a record for us.
I know. And it is Natasha Madison week, and I apologize for waiting this long to tell you that. If you came just for the audiobook, you've already left anyway.
You're not hearing this. You're already zipping through.
Natasha Madison is here. She brought us a book called Tempt the X. And it's about a heroine. I've actually never read this plot. The heroine broke up with the hero because, like, her friends were like, come on, it's college. Like, you're just staying in with this guy every night. Like, get out and have some fun. Like, this is, like, your one chance to be, like, you know, 18 and single or whatever. And so she like follows their advice and then she immediately regrets it. So then they try to tempt each other back. It's good stuff. It's really funny too. She has a really great sense of humor. So, you guys are going to be giggling. Tempt the Boss. Yeah. Is part of the series. And I actually have that blurb here. I should read it to you guys. Okay, Tempt the Boss is one of her, Natasha Madison's, more popular books. And it's within this series that the podcast book is about, is within. So I'm going to read you the Tempt the Boss blurb. Lauren, going back to work was supposed to be a painless transition. But when my new boss turns out to be an arrogant, cocky jerk, he quickly turns my professional life into a world of torture. Okay, fine. Calling him an asshat before knowing he was my boss wasn't my finest moment. Hating him should be easy. I just never counted on him being so gorgeous or charming when he's not annoying me. Austin, I expected my new assistant to be professional and punctual, but all I'm getting are dirty looks and rude comments. I should fire the little hellion, but instead all I can think about is bending her over my desk and breaking every rule I've ever made for myself. One look, one touch, one night. If we break the rules, our lives will never be the same again. Good thing rules were made to be broken. And besides, it feels too good to tempt the boss.
Sexy.
I enjoy it. She reminds me a lot of Aurora Rose Reynolds, that kind of alpha guy. That. She actually has a book that I've enjoyed and a whole series. One of the first books should be free. I think it's always free. Something So Right, I think.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, the first one is free for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. And then there's the box set. But I've read, they're really good. I love this series. I've read them all.
It's like the alpha, the alpha, the caveman, the bad boy, and the single dad. That's what she has. Those are the four books. So we'll talk more about that after her first two chapters play. But yeah, that's in a box set for 99 cents. So I'll put the link in the episode description so you guys can grab it.
So can I ask you guys a question now? Or do you still want to talk about this book for a minute? Because I have something I've been dying to ask y'all since last week, and I haven't been able to talk to you about it because I wanted to wait till we recorded.
I have to know.
So last Saturday, we were supposed to go to this thing, and it was called Charlotte, like, it was something about unusual, and it was like, Oddities and Curiosities was the name of it. And it was supposed to be like strange and unusual things, but it was in like this big convention center, like really neat stuff. Like you could go look at, like, I don't know, like some of the stuff they had that they advertised for was like, you know, like spooky Halloween stuff, like clothing. There was like a Murderino section or whatever. And I was like, oh, this would be cool. Like, you know, this will be fun. And it was build is like a family event, and it's like, you know, kids such as not are free, like, you know, this much with an adult or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I went through and I read about it and I sent it to my friend Lily, and I was like, hey, do you guys want to bring like your son and we'll all go together? And she was like, yeah, that sounds really cool. And she was like, but we'll skip the suspension part. And I was like, what? And she was like, I was like, the one where they, like, I thought it was like the rope, the like the silk ties, you know, like Cirque du Soleil kind of thing. I thought, because it said suspension and stuff on it. And she was like, what? You don't know what that is? And I was like, yeah, like the ballet stuff, like in the air, you don't want to watch that? She was like, it'll freak my son out. And she was like, no, suspension is where people pierce their bodies and hang from them.
Oh.
Well, wait, not always. They don't always pierce their bodies, but it's definitely bondage.
No.
Yeah.
I looked it up on their website, and they had a clip of a video of one of the events you could watch and see what they have. And there is a fucking section of this room where people do that. They suspend themselves from, like, piercings. Like, I know.
No judgment. No judgment.
It just sounds like, painful.
But ow.
This one woman, I mean, it's like there was needles like going through her thighs and stuff. It was like, I don't know. Like, that is definitely on the far spectrum of the oddities. But I just thought it was really strange that this was billed as a family event for people to see this. And children to watch. Like, I was just like, am I? I was like, have I lost my mind? And she was cackling. She thought it was hilarious that I didn't know what the fuck this was. That I thought it was some Cirque du Soleil shit that was going to freak her kid out. And she was like, no, that's not it. No, it's like, the video clip I watched was horrific. But I was like, am I the only one that doesn't know what this is?
Well, I've been to a suspension event, but it was like a BDSM thing. So it was like a girl with like really intricate,
like knots,
like a really intricate, knots and ropes around her and her hanging from the ceiling without clothes on in these ropes. And just, like, the man was kind of, like, repositioning her in different ways and just, like, her being completely, like, she couldn't move. Like, she was just going to hang, like, she was trapped in these ropes. And I think that that was what was so sexy about it.
And I could get down with that.
I'm just cringing at that.
I know, that's the thing.
I can't do that.
You know, and I read a book one time, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but that was one of the things that was part of it. It was, I think it may have been the Shadowlands, where there was like a needle play part in it. And it's just like, and again, there's no judgment here. I'm not saying this is wrong. I just don't understand it in a sexy aspect. I haven't been able to understand it. It's just, I want to be able to get it. I just haven't gotten there yet. But the whole part about this being a family event that you're taking your kids to, I just can't get past it.
No, there's nothing. That's not a family. That sounds like something they would have had like in the old circus before they realized that like it wasn't okay to call people freaks or like all these
like
things.
Like a circus. It almost felt like that. Like a really dark, serious circus.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Where was it held?
In Charlotte. There was this amphitheater, or like, not amphitheater, but
Did you end up going?
Fuck no! I don't want to see that! I'm such a weenie when it comes to, like, blood and guts and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to watch it. Like, I'd probably pass out if I saw it. I'm such a baby. But, like, I guess, like, it's really cool and neat if you're into it. I don't know. Like, I just felt so stupid because I'm like, I know everything there is to know about sex and all this other stuff and all manners of.
Well, it doesn't sound like it was about sex. It sounds like it was like being
I don't feel like I'm, you know, sheltered at all or I'm anyway, like I have innocent eyes, but in some way, like my friend was just like, I can't believe you don't know what this is. You're so innocent. And I was like, I'm not innocent.
I've never heard of suspension in that way. Like. I've never heard of that.
So I'm glad it wasn't just.
I've heard it in the rope way, like BDSM.
I was just so upset, and I was like, I need to ask Melissa and Tessa if they know what this is, but I'm gonna have to wait till the next time we record. So yeah. So just so you know.
Oh my god, I still get emails every month about it's our monthly suspension party because of the one time I went like 5-6
that's
years
so
ago.
Fun, though. Like I would go see that. I think that would be really cool.
That's happening in the middle of the room, but then other things are happening like around it. Like that's just kind of the main, it's like the chandelier, this girl.
I think that would be so interesting to watch, especially like the tying and the ropes and stuff. I find that fascinating. Like, I mean, I might not necessarily be into bondage myself, like in my own bedroom, but I think it's like to watch it done. I think it's really beautiful. I mean, I just haven't gotten to the point where like, I can't find pain in any way like sexy
erotic
I don't know why, but you know I have enjoyed it in a couple books because we talked about that before. I remember with the Shadowlands when like I've enjoyed it before, but that's different, you know.
I don't know, it's different in books because I enjoy a lot of things in books that I do not enjoy personally.
It all depends on the context of it. Like it's like I like if you're asking me right now, would you like to read a book about a guy meeting out pain to a girl, I'd be like, nah, I think I'll pass on it probably today. But then like if I'm reading it and the characters suck me in and the story sucks me in and then it gets to that point, I'm sure it would have an effect on me and I'd like it.
A lot of times it's when you see why the characters need this.
Yeah, that's true. When there's
I've written it before.
Oh
you know?
My god. That reminds me of a book. There was a book like that.
What was yours?
Oh. It was like knife play, and it was so good. Like I never thought I would like a book that had knife play. I'm gonna have to look up the author.
You look it up because I want to know what Tessa's book is.
You look it up. Yeah, I want to know. We have to tell them what it is.
No, Tessa, what was your book? You said you've written that before.
Well, I wrote a BDSM series. That's why I went to this suspension party, and you know, like I think there was three heroes, and I feel like as the series went on, they got like the heroes maybe I like turned it up a little bit because I really wasn't gonna write like a heavy BDSM series. It's pretty, like you know, there's no like breath play or blood play or anything like that. But this last guy was a little bit more brutal than the other two.
What series is?
And I feel like he did, you know, like hit maybe spank a little bit harder or you know like leave marks on her wrists or things like that. But if she's it all depends on if the heroine being into it. I mean, if she said yes and she wants this and she's consenting to it, that's when it's okay. Driven by... So the series is the Serve series, and the book I'm talking about in particular is Driven by Fate. And I still to this day think that has the hottest scenes I've ever written. Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I found it. It is called One Cut Deeper. There is an audiobook. It's a Carina Press book. It's by Jolie Sue Burkhart.
Jolie Sue Burkhart, and it's called, say it again one more time.
One Cut Deeper.
One Cut Deeper. Nice
so
play.
So in this book, you realize that she has like these depression needs or whatever. And I never thought I would be into someone cutting someone. But almost she wrote it so well that when he would cut her, you like could almost feel like the release for the heroine. You're like, oh. That's what Holy she needed. Shit. You know what I mean? It's really good.
I don't know, man.
I thought it's me either. Yeah, if you told me this to myself, I'd be like, you're so full of it, Melissa. But it's like there's a serial killer thing going on in the background, too. And the hero's been stalking her and becomes her dom to stalk her because he's trying to. It's been so long.
I guess I'd have to read it. To see what, like, the circumstances are around that because, you know, like, I would want, like, in my head, I'm like, well, she should probably go get professional help for that.
That need professional help.
She went through, like, a dark phase and whatever, and he's, like, online with her for a long time, and she goes to a therapist. Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's good.
And all of that.
Okay, other thing...
I want to read it. I'm interested now because, and also when you said serial killer, I was like,
I know. Ding, I was ding, like, ding. Ooh, that checked a box right there.
Did you guys see this thing? I follow this account on Instagram called Reductress.
I don't know.
And it like Reductress, Reductress. Where is it now? I can't find it, of course. Yeah. Reductress. it's kind of like The Onion, but just for women. It's like fake headlines they have no stories attached. They're just supposed to be funny. And there's this one picture of this girl looking really smug. You can see it.
Yeah.
See? And she's like, and the headline is, I gave up true crime documentaries because they're unethical. And also I've watched all the good ones. So funny. It's my favorite account. I swear.
I know. I want to find it now. It must not be. Oh, it's Reductus _ official. Is that it? No.
No, it's like got a big R. That's the logo.
Oh, okay. I don't know, but now. Oh, I see it. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Reductress. Yeah. Jeez. Oh, yeah. I like these. All right, cool. I'm going so to that then. I'm going to follow.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play the first few chapters of Tempt to the X by Natasha Madison. And when that's over, we'll come back with some...
Sales and deals.
Deals and deals and giveaway info. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you guys on the other side.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 1. John. What the fuck are you doing? I hear yelled from behind me as Austin, one of my college roommates, turns on the lights in the living room where I sit in the dark. My eyes squint to get used to the light. Are you sitting in the dark by yourself? He asks me with a confused look on his face. He comes into the room and takes in the way I'm just sitting on the couch, slouched down with my shoulders slumped and looking defeated. She broke up with me, I finally whisper. My gaze never leaves the television, even though it isn't even on. Noah, my other roommate, opens the front door, yelling, "Honey, I'm home," as he comes into the living room and throws himself down on the other couch across the room. Noah and Austin have been best friends since they were in diapers, or so I was told. When they decided to go to college together, it was only normal for them to buy a house. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. College kids owning a house? But they have trust funds and stuff, so they bought this 3-bedroom little house right off campus. Lucky for me, they had a vacant 3rd bedroom. Austin and I hit it off right away in economics class. After a couple of weeks, I was mentioning how horrible living in a dorm was, and boom, my problems were solved when he offered me their empty room. Of course, he had to check with Noah, but when we sat down, we all got along, so it was a no-brainer. So now, for the past year or so, the 3 of us have lived in this house. Who pissed in his cornflakes? Noah asks Austin as he points at me. Danny broke up with him. Austin fills him in as he walks into the room. What? He sits up. Why? He asks me and then turns to Austin, who shrugs his shoulders. She said I was a distraction. I repeat the words she said just an hour ago, feeling my heart break all over again. Noah pulls out his phone and starts typing something on it. What are you doing? Austin asks him as Noah's thumbs go crazy across his phone. I'm going to order a couple of escorts. He looks back and forth between us. Classy, of course, he says, smiling while I glare at him. You get kicked off the horse, you bounce your ass right back on another horse. He wiggles his eyebrows at me while Austin walks over to him and rips the phone from his hand. What was that for? I don't want another girl, I tell him, throwing my hands up. I want Danny. Well, she doesn't want you, Noah says. Nothing says I'm over you like plowing through another vagina. He looks at Austin for backup. Am I not right? Be sensitive, Austin says as he gives the phone back to him, then looks at me. Dude, but seriously, you guys were together, what, 5 months? 6 tops? 7 and a half. But she's the one, I say, as I look down at a picture of us kissing on my own phone that we took just last week. Holy shit, it's worse than we thought. Noah looks at Austin. She put a vagina voodoo on his dick. Then he looks at me. Does your dick get hard when you watch porn without her? I shake my head. I stopped watching porn, I say. Noah gasps, his hand flying to his mouth. I mean, we had sex daily, sometimes twice, so I really didn't need it. What the fuck are you talking about? You always need porn. Noah gets up and runs to the kitchen in the back of the house, and Austin and I follow him. He walks around the room, opening then slamming the drawers. Remember that chick I dated, the hippie? He asks us while Austin and I just watch him ransack the small kitchen. What was her name? Daffodil? Essence? He snaps his fingers as he stares at the wall, trying to guess her name. Ocean, rain. He stops snapping, looking at both of us like he just got the winning Powerball numbers. Storm, that's it. Well, she brought me some sage once to get rid of bad mojo or whatever, and she saged the house. What? I ask as I look at Austin. He asks the question I'm thinking. You made her sage the house? How do you know it was sage? Austin asks while he puts his hands on his hips, waiting for Noah to answer. I have no fucking clue, but whatever she did made my dick hard as a rock, and I ended up fucking her on the table. I couldn't help myself. He says, proud of himself, and I sit up straight now. Ew, Austin grimaces. We eat on that fucking table. There are rules, Noah, like no banging unless it's in your room or the shower. John banged Danny on the couch last week, he points at me. I watched. He smiles. You did good, grasshopper, he says as he raised his hand for a high five. You fucking watched, I yelled at him. I don't get to say much more to him because now Austin yells at me. No fucking unless it's in your own bed. Am I the only one who abides by this rule? Yes, Noah and I both yell, and Austin just throws up his hands. I'm having this place cleaned and steamed, and you two assholes are gonna pay for it. He shakes his head. What if I sat and ate where her ass was naked or your ball sack rubbed on the table? He puts his hands to his mouth. I think I'm going to be sick. Aha! Noah exclaims from the corner as he holds up what looks like a huge doobie. Taking a lighter, he lights it, and the smell makes him cough. I don't know what to do, but I'd know that she walked around. He says as he walks around the room. I think she was chanting. Maybe we should chant. He now bounces on his feet as he walks around the room, his hand fanning the sage around. Zuma, Zuma, Zuma. What fucking chant is that? Austin asks as he laughs at him prancing around the room. Okay, fine, Noah says. Rid us of evil pussy. His hand shakes around the kitchen table as the sage burns, leaving streaks of white smoke. Rid us of nasty pussy, he walks to the fridge. Rid us of bad-tasting pussy. He is out of his mind, I say as Austin just watches him with an open mouth. He walks into the living room. Rid us of pussies that have already been ridden in the room. He walks to the couch where Danny and I had sex. Rid us of the voodoo vagina that placed her spell on this couch. He walks through the whole house, and when he comes back down, we're sitting in the living room watching some bullshit show on television. Who wants to go get something to eat? He says as we both hold our noses from his smell. Go shower, and we'll go get something. Austin says as I look aimlessly at my phone, hoping she'll send a text or call. I open my Facebook app to look at Danny's profile, only for it to tell me we aren't friends anymore. She unfriended me, I tell them as I toss my phone to the side. Who does that? Noah gets up, peeling himself out of his sage-smelling shirt. Girls who want you to think you're missing something, when, in fact, she's probably sitting at home eating bonbons and crying. Dude, she may even gain 10 pounds. You saved yourself. You will never get serious with a girl, I tell him as he walks toward the stairs. Good, he yells. If it means I won't be crying on a couch on a Friday night thinking about what my ex is doing, I don't want to get serious. Fuck, if it wasn't against the law, I would become a priest. It's not against the law, Austin says as he flips the channel on the television. It's against the law if you're a priest and you fuck all the time, so therefore I can't do it. He walks upstairs and slams his door, and then we hear the water running. There is something seriously wrong with him, I mentioned to Austin. Maybe he's right. Maybe I should go out and get a rebound. I smell trouble. Austin turns off the television. As soon as you put Noah and his idea in the right category, you know shit is going to go all kinds of crazy. I'm about to tell him it was a stupid idea when Noah comes running down the stairs. Pack your condoms, boys. Alpha Sigma Pi just sent out an email. Party at their house, wet t-shirt contest. It's a sign. He's right, Austin says. We need to just get out and clear the air. Fine, but I'm telling you right now, I don't want anyone to set me up. Just let me wallow a bit. I looked at them both. Wallow? Noah asks, confused. You did hear me. Wet t-shirt contest? Fuck, wallow in tits. He throws his hands up. Let's go! He yells as we follow him out the door and to a party I know I'm going to regret.
Chapter 2. Danny. The music is so loud, I can't hear myself think. I really shouldn't be here, I lean in to tell my roommate Aria. She shakes her head and then turns around to shout, It'll do you good to be out. You were just staring at your phone and it was depressing. I shake my head as I take in the scene in front of me. A sorority party is the last place I wanted to be after this week. The whole week I was on pins and needles, knowing I was going to break up with John. John, who I loved with everything I had. John, who would show up just because. The look on his face when I told him it was over is a look I don't think I will ever forget. It was the same look that my heart was giving as I told him. We were together for 7 months, and I loved everything about it. But then my roommates kept telling me I was wasting my good old college years, and that you don't really find love in college. College is your time to go out and be free. I thought they were right, but as time goes on and minutes turn into hours, it just gets worse and worse. I don't know what to do. I open my phone and stalk him on Facebook till Aria found me and unfriended him. Now I can't see anything because his profile is set to private. I do see that he's left the picture of us for his profile. Aria hands me a red Solo cup. Leaning in, she says, They said it was a special punch. I look at her, pinching my eyebrows together. I think the last thing we should do is drink this. She looks at me, or rather, glares at me. Drink it. You need to let your hair down. I think I let my hair down enough when I borrowed your shirt, which is two sizes too small for me. I look down at the black t-shirt that fits me so tight and low, I think my nipple might accidentally slip out. I keep pulling it up, and she keeps smacking my hand away.
Okay, ladies,
someone says from the other room.
It's time for the main event.
Aria grabs my hand, walking from the kitchen to the living room where they have a coffee table that will be their stage.
I hope you guys are ready for this. Not only is it a wet t-shirt contest, but we've decided to make it an auction as well. So, gentlemen, if you see something you might like...
He wiggles his eyebrows.
The bidding can start as low as $100. And it's all for a great cause. They need new flooring in their kitchen.
Oh, please. I roll my eyes as the first contestant takes the stage. Mandy. Mandy, who has a white t-shirt on. Without a bra, of course. The MC guy takes a pitcher of water and tosses it right on her. Not on her. On her tits. And the white t-shirt becomes completely see-through. Well, I guess the water is cold, I say, as her nips perk out of the shirt.
Okay, is anyone bidding?
He asks as she looks around, and a pout almost fills her face.
Come on, I can tell you that her rack is all natural.
200.
I look over at the front door and see John's roommate, Noah.
We have a winner,
the man says as he points at Noah. As he walks down the two steps into the main room, I see Austin, and then John behind him. John greets a couple of people as he follows Noah into the room.
The next girl is...
That's the only thing I hear, because it all happens in slow motion. The way he shakes people's hands, the way he smiles at a couple of people. And then Mandy running up to him and wrapping her hands around his neck. He quickly pushes her away with a scowl. Her face turns down into a pout, and I have to wonder if guys really find that look appealing. What is she, 3?
I bought her for you, Noah says as he slaps John's shoulder. You're welcome.
John shakes his head as Austin laughs and starts talking to Mandy's tits while she twirls her hair.
Where are you going?
Noah asks as he looks at the stage as Sabrina, who must be a double D, gets her white tank soaked. But she is wearing a bra.
500,
Noah says, even before the MC asks for bids, and Sabrina rolls her eyes at him.
Come to Papa.
He opens his arms as she crosses hers over her chest to make sure no one sees her nipples. I duck behind the guy standing in front of me when I see John come my way, hoping like hell he doesn't see me. But luck is not on my side, because as soon as he passes by, his eyes lock with mine. He does a double take, stopping as people walk into him from behind. He steps out of the way to come stand by me.
Danny,
he says with his lopsided smile. My heart starts beating again, and the butterflies start tingling in my stomach. He starts to say something else when Aria bumps into me from the back.
We have to go.
She grabs my hand and drags me back to the kitchen. I look back and see his face go from a smile to a frown. I turn my head away because I don't want to see his eyes hurting. The stinging in my own eyes start, and I know I'm 2 seconds away from a meltdown.
That isn't moving on if you just talk to him at a party. You need to mingle.
I don't want to mingle, I finally say as we walk out the back door to the side yard. I don't even want to be here. I want to be at home, eating ice cream as I cry over him. I point back at the house.
Really? Well, he sure looks like he's moving on.
She points at the house.
He had no trouble coming here the day after you dumped him. Fuck, he had another girl's lipstick on his neck.
She shakes her head.
Wake up, Danny. Guys are not in college looking for a wife. They are here to screw everything and anything they can till they leave and then settle down.
I rub my hands over my face,
I get it. I do. But I just can't be out pretending to be happy now. Let me have this day. Fuck, let me have the weekend. And then on Monday, we can start fresh. Just, I wipe away a tear that is going to fall. I'm going to go. I don't wait for her to answer before I turn around and walk back to our dorm room. I walk on the dark sidewalk, looking down at my feet. I finally get home and run up the 5 front steps, then open the door and run up the stairs to my room. Sliding into bed, I look at my phone and see a text from John. John,
you looked beautiful tonight.
My finger goes over the screen, the same way I rubbed his lips right before I would lean in and kiss him. I'm touching his face when the phone rings, and I see it's my sister, Melissa. Hey, I answer on the second ring.
Hey, what's up?
Not much, just getting into bed. I pull the covers up, turning on my side.
So, she starts. Are you still on this whole let me party my life in college?
I groan. Yes. If it's not now, when will it be? When I'm 40 with 2.5 kids and I hate my life?
First off, she starts, how can you have 2.5 kids? And why would you hate your life?
I sit up in bed, thinking about the loaded question. I have no idea why. I just do. I've never lived on the edge of my seat. Fuck, I've only slept with 2 guys my whole life.
And so?
I hear her turn on the water.
So you don't have the social vagina? It's really not a bad thing.
I tap my nose, thinking. I just don't want to have the what ifs when I turn 40.
You'll have the what ifs if you let that man get away,
she counters.
Shit, I have to go. Someone just rang my doorbell.
Love you, I tell her, as I hear the phone disconnect. I put my phone back on the side table and get back under the covers on my side, looking out my small window at the blinking stars. This is going to be good, I tell myself, except my heart clearly disagrees with me.
Chapter 3. John. The hissing sound lets me know the coffee is ready. I grab it and pour myself a cup when I hear giggling coming from the stairs. Turning my head to see who's coming down, I see it's Noah and 2 girls. They both lean up, kissing his cheek goodbye. He stands by the door and waves at both of them, then walks into the kitchen wearing just his shorts. Morning, sunshine. He smiles as he grabs a coffee cup, pouring himself a cup and takes a couple of sips without adding milk. I'm drained. Literally. I shake my head as he sits down. It's not my fault you bailed on her. The poor girl was in tears. I pinched my eyebrows together. Tears my ass. I bought her for you to get the penis up and running. He places the cup on the table. And what do? You push her away. You pushed away guaranteed pussy. Do you know how much work I had to do last night? Let's not even get into how I had to continuously tell them that you weren't gay. He takes another sip. Dude, it was fucking harsh. I saw Danny, I tell him as I sit down. She was at the party. Oh, Jesus. And? He asks as he taps his fingers on the table. I don't get a chance to answer because Austin comes down the stairs with his laptop in hand. Morning, he says as he drops his laptop on the table and goes to pour himself coffee. I look back at Noah. Nothing. She looked beautiful. Angelic. She was surprised to see me there, I tell him. Of course she was. Noah slaps his hand down on the table. She was probably on the prowl, and you must have cramped her style. Austin sits down and opens his computer, typing away while I look back at Noah. She came there to put a curse on your dick, he says, drinking while Austin looks over at him. I need your credit card number, Austin asks Noah. Crossing his arms over his bare chest, he asks, why? Why? Austin starts and then raises his voice. Why? Why? He yells. Because all night you kept me up with the banging. He points at Noah, who grins. I thought the fucking headboard was going to go through the wall, so I'm ordering padding for the back of it. Hey, he throws his hands up. It was a rough night, and the snake is drained. It actually crawled into his cave and decided no more pussy today. He shrugs his shoulders. Or tomorrow. Those two were greedy bitches. I look at him. You're disgusting. You know that, right? Depends on who you ask. But if you ask Mandy and, his voice trails off as he starts snapping his fingers. Barbara? No, not that. Brenda? No, not that either. I know her name. It's on the tip of my dick, Austin says. It's on the tip of your dick. Harriet. That was her name. Mandy and Harriet. How did you guess Barbara and Brenda when it doesn't even start with a B? I turn, asking him. I have no idea, Noah shrugs. But those two. He groans as he shakes his head. Okay, so now what? He asks, looking at me. You saw Danny, and are you still in love with her? Of course I still love her. I breathe out while I rub my hands over my face. With everything that I have, I put my hands on the table. I just need her to talk to me. I can't believe I'm gonna say this, Noah says as he looks at Austin. We need to tempt the ex and get her back. We? Austin asks as he looks up from his laptop, first at Noah and then at me. Why am I in this we? Austin asks as Noah gets up and grabs a sheet of paper from one of the drawers with a pen. You're in the we because it's us, and it's one for all and all for one. Noah quickly writes on the paper, tempt the ex. Now, Noah says as he looks at us, what does one do to get someone back, besides kidnapping? He taps the pen on his lip, then writes kidnapping down at the bottom of the page. I'm not kidnapping anyone, Austin says as Noah rolls his eyes. I put it on the bottom of the page because it's our last resort. Now, how about love notes? Noah looks at both of us to see if maybe he's onto something. I like that one, I finally say. I can do love poems. I smile at them, and they both roll their eyes. Too cheesy? Yes, they both shout. Okay, fine, I give in, raising my hands. Love notes it is, then. Noah snaps his fingers. You shouldn't write them. We should get magazines and paste the words in there. Make it mysterious, so she thinks she has a secret admirer. I like that. Get her to fall in love with me twice. I get up, going to the living room and grabbing the last two Cosmo magazines that she left here and bring them with me back to the kitchen. Okay, I have the magazines. I slap them on the table as Austin reaches out to grab one. He flips through it, stopping to read a couple of pages. There are quizzes in here and everything, Austin says as he continues flipping. What kind of lover is your man? He looks up at us, and I just shake my head. Okay, so we have love letters, Noah says as he puts it on the list. What else? What about if you show up where she is? Austin asks. Like, not stalking, but just a coincidence? We both look at him as he pushes away from the table to get another cup of coffee. So you follow her and then wait a couple of minutes before going into whatever store she's at and bump into her. Noah shrugs his shoulders. I like it, he adds, follow her on the list. Join her study groups, Austin also says. I mean, you're both in the same program, right? He sips his coffee as he sits back down. You could join a couple of study groups that you know she's in? Yes, Noah says. Flirt with other women and make her see you're a catch. Show her that other girls want your limp dick. My dick isn't limp, I point out. He just only salutes one woman. Voodoo vagina. I might have to wear a cup in front of her in case she thinks I want to sleep with her. To protect the crown jewels, Noah says, grabbing his junk as though he's protecting it. I texted her last night, I say quietly. She didn't text me back. Okay, if we're gonna do this, you can't go around looking all desperate and shit. No texting her anymore unless she texts you first. And whatever you do, no dick pics, Noah says as he looks back and forth between Austin and me. These girls keep it and then show their friends.
Next thing you know, they take out a billboard on campus that says, "Have you seen our dick?" Austin and I both burst out laughing. "Oh my God, that was you in the posters all over campus?" I ask him, holding my stomach from laughing so hard. I can't confirm it, but he did look familiar. He puts his hands up. I will say that is the actual size and nothing is blown up. He pushes away from the table. "I need a fucking nap," he says as he walks up the stairs and slams his door. "You sure about this?" Austin looks at me. "I mean, Noah is right. There are more fish in the pond," or whatever metaphor he used. "It's her," I say quietly. From the moment I met her, it was like my world was knocked into place. "Okay, don't repeat that ever again, especially in front of Noah." He also gets up from the table, grabbing his laptop as he makes his way to his room and closes the door with a slam as well. I grab the pieces of paper from the table, looking at the list again, and I add mine. "Make her fall in love with me again." I put that at the top of the list. Picking up the two magazines in the list, I walk upstairs to my room and start my first love letter.
Chapter 4. Danny. I'm going to be so late for my study group. It's been a week of hell. First, my car got a flat tire, and it took forever to get someone to fix it for me. Then my alarm didn't go off, and I missed two of my marketing building classes, which is why I needed this study group. Then, to top it all off, I couldn't fucking sleep without dreaming about John. I haven't seen or heard from him since the last text he sent me, and I'm like a woman on the ledge about to jump over the cliff. I honestly thought after a couple of days, everything would be fine. But it's not. There is nothing fine with how I'm feeling. Nothing. Then to top all this shit off, I've started getting weird notes on my car. It's almost eerie the way the words are glued on instead of written. I think back to the first one I got. Bouncing down the steps, I slept for a full 4 hours last night and sighed when I finally put my key into the door of the car, seeing a white folded paper under the windshield wiper. At first, I thought it was a ticket. But then I opened it, and all these letters were spaced together and cut out from a magazine. "Your eyes are the door to your soul." I looked around, seeing if anything was out of place. But there wasn't even a bird chirping. Nothing. Then the next day was another note on the same white paper. "Your smile lights up my day, even from afar." I even set my alarm every hour one night to go and see if anyone was by my car, but still nothing. Now I'm throwing my bag over my shoulder as I slam the car door shut and run into the coffee shop where we're all meeting. I walk in, looking around to see if the group has gotten there, and I see them in the corner. As I walk over, the only thing I see is John. His black hair is falling on his forehead as he pushes his black-rimmed glasses up a bit. He looks like Clark Kent, and I see he is talking to Aria. She told me she hates him. She is the one who made a list of why I shouldn't date him, and now she's here. I make my way over as they both laugh at something he said. His arms are folded over his chest. A chest I spent many hours holding on to while sleeping, or riding him. "Hey," I say, clearing my throat. He looks up at me and smiles big.
"Hey,"
he says, and is about to say something else when Aria looks at me while she puts her brown hair behind her ear and smiles at me.
"Hey, I didn't think you would be coming. I thought you were sick,"
Aria says to me as she looks a little white and shell-shocked that I'm actually here. "Nope," I say, as I pull out a chair and sit down in front of them right next to George.
"Hey, Danny, I didn't see you in class this week. Is everything okay?"
he asks me, worried, and I just nod. "I'm fine." I don't get into how I'm not fine, or how I didn't make it to class because I slept through my alarm. Instead, I grab my books and laptop and open them. So, what did I miss? I ask the group that now is the six of us, including Dylan and Josh. Everyone takes out their notes as we start talking about strategy and public marketing. At the end of the two-hour session, I close my books and put my stuff into my bag. As I get up, I turn to see that George has left, but John is standing next to me.
Do you think you have everything you need?
He asks me as I tuck my chair in, and Aria comes to stand next to me.
Well, if you need any of my notes, just ask.
She smiles at me and then smiles bigger at John.
It was good chatting with you.
She turns and walks away. I watch her walk out the coffee shop door, the bells chiming when she opens the door and chiming again when it closes. And something doesn't sit well in my stomach. I look back at John to see that he isn't watching Aria walk away. He's watching me, his eyes soft and light.
So,
he says as we slowly make our way to the door. We both turn and say bye to everyone lingering.
How have you been?
He asks as we walk slower than two snails. I've been good, I say, looking down at our shoes. Then I look up at him. How have you been?
I've been better.
He comes right out and says,
I've been a lot better.
I don't have to look at him to know what he means.
But
he shrugs his shoulders.
It is what it is.
He stops walking when we get to my car, and I'm tempted to say something more, but I'm not sure anymore. His phone dings in his pocket, and he pulls it out to look at it.
I have to go,
he says, and is about to lean in and kiss me, but catches himself and stops.
I guess I'll see you around.
He puts his hands in his pockets as he smiles, and I nod at him. He turns and climbs into his own car after he tosses his bag into the back. I watch as he pulls out of the parking lot. Then I grab my phone to call Melissa right away. Dude, you will never believe this, I say, as soon as she answers with a yo. I'm getting in, then starting it and pulling out of the parking lot. Aria has the hots for John. I hear her slap something. I fucking knew I didn't like her, she yells. Yes, you did. I shake my head. You are all, she's so nice, and I'm so happy you have a sane roommate. I mimic her. You went so far as to tell me she was one of the good ones, remember? She huffs out. Okay, fine. I liked her. But I don't like her anymore. Gee, really? I hit the steering wheel. I can't believe I let her get into my head. I was so stupid. Okay, well, now you know, Melissa says. What are you going to do about it? I'm getting my man back, I say, as I turn onto my street. Looking in my rearview mirror, I see two headlights right behind me. You know I'm going to be like one of those crazy fucking girls breaking up with him and then begging him to take me back? Do you think he's moved on? She asks the question I am even dreading asking myself. I don't think so, I start. He walked me to my car when it was time to leave, and then he leaned in and almost kissed me. I pulled up in front of my dorm. But he pulled back at the last moment.
Why don't you just call him? She suggests. Just tell him that you want to meet him and then show up wearing a trench coat and lingerie. Boom, problem solved.
I can't just show up wearing lingerie. What if Austin and Noah are there?
Listen, what if they aren't?
She says as I park my car and grab my stuff to walk up the stairs to my room.
You need to let that twat face know that you are onto her and her plot to take your man.
Okay, I'm walking in now. I'll keep you posted, I say as I hang up and walk into my dorm room. We both have loft beds with our desks under the bed. We went shopping together to get matching bedding. I look at her side and see that she isn't back yet. That's strange, I say out loud to myself. She left before I did. I put my bag on my desk, taking out my laptop. As I open it up, I plug my phone into the charger and bring up the text from John.
Hey, are you busy tomorrow? I was wondering if you wanted to study.
I read and read it before I delete it, and then start a new one.
Can you check and see if you picked up my notes by accident? I don't have them.
I press send on that one because it looks believable. I see the little bubble with the three dots come up, so I wait for his answer. The bubble comes on, then disappears for a full minute, or maybe it was 30 seconds, but it felt like a whole year. I look back down, but this time the door opens and Aria walks in.
Hey,
she says, going to her side of the room and tossing her stuff on her desk. I turn and look at her. Hey, yourself. I look at her as she shrugs off her jacket.
So you looked cozy tonight with John.
I come right out and say it. I'm not even trying to sugarcoat this shit. She looks over at me.
We were just discussing things. Besides, I was just making you see that he really is a player.
She looks down, then back up.
I'm just showing you that he would have no problems moving on. You should thank me.
Is this bitch serious? I finally see it, the jealousy inside her words and inside her eyes. Yeah, I really should thank you for opening my eyes. I don't continue to tell her that I've opened my eyes to what a conniving little bitch she is, or that I hope she gets bedbugs in her vagina. Instead, I turn back and check my phone and see that he still hasn't answered. Instead, I text Melissa. Recon tomorrow. I gotta win my man back. And I have to look for a new place to live. Oh, and where can one purchase bedbugs? I press send and look over to see that Aria is sitting down with her computer and her earbuds in. Yep, tomorrow is a brand new day.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hi. So when Natasha Madison's nose isn't buried in a book or her fingers aren't flying across a keyboard writing, she's in the kitchen creating gourmet meals. You can find her in four-inch heels, no less, in the car chauffeuring kids or possibly with her husband scheduling his business trips. It's a good thing her characters do what she says because even her Labrador doesn't listen to her. She's a delight. I've met her at Indies Invade Philly for the first time last year. I hope that was the first time. I'm not just saying.
And you're not incredibly wrong.
Yeah. We sat at the same lunch table and she was so, so sweet and so down to earth and fun. So if you want more Natasha Madison, her Something So series, you can get all four books, Something So Right, Something So Perfect, Something So Irresistible, and Something So Unscripted. There's a whole box set. We'll put the link in the episode description and put it all over social media. And also,
Natasha. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to mention releases.
Go for it. No, you should.
Okay. So it's, I was going to mention some Ruby Moran's authors that have some books out. Smooth Kisses by Ellen Good is out today. Sacrificed to the Beast by Jessa Kane is out today. And then also, you can go ahead and get your pre-order for Trapping Her by Aurora Rose Reynolds. And it's out tomorrow. But if you click it today, you'll get it tonight at midnight.
Yes.
So those are three Ruby Romance authors that I know have releases today.
All right. Good stuff. And you guys follow us on Instagram and Facebook if you want to get the links to this, if you guys can't find the episode description, because I know a lot of people have trouble finding it. Also, I wanted to tell you, Natasha is giving away 5 audiobooks and a signed copy of Tempt the Boss, I believe. So go to readmeromance.com and go to the current audiobook and you can enter the giveaway.
Awesome.
All right, Leah, tell them what to do.
Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye.
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 Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back.